So exciting to be here with you today on this Easter Sunday. Again, if we've not met yet, my name is Kyle. So excited you're here. And again, if you are a guest with us, we're excited you're here. If you could let us know you're here today, there's a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. And you haven't filled that out before, fill that out. See our team in the Connect Lounge back there. We'd love to get a gift in your hand just to say thank you for being here. And then also just a chance to get to know you a little bit, see if Transforming Life is a good fit for you and your family. How many of you ever lost something before? Yeah, I see a few hands. Some of y'all are really shy right now. I don't know, should I raise my hand? This is a Pentecostal church. You can raise your hand. It's okay. We do that here. It's okay. Yeah, we probably all lost. Some of you probably lost your keys. You're in a rush to get out. I mean, I got to get to work. I'm running late, but man, I can't find my keys, right? Maybe you've lost some money before. Like, I know I had a $20. Like, I don't know where that went, right? You know how frustrating that feels. You lose this thing. Maybe you've lost something. Anybody got kids that have lost that favorite toy that you told them not to bring because you know they were going to lose it? And what happened? They lost it. And there were tears. And there was a meltdown. Probably had to go to Lost and Found. I'll tell you what. We have a Lost and Found here because some of y'all be leaving stuff around all the time. Jackets and t-shirts and coffee cups and things like that, but nobody be leaving a Stanley Cup, though. Y'all don't leave that. Get me a new Stanley Cup. Maybe you've lost a pet before. Your pet got lost. Your pet ran away, and your pet was lost. That happened to us a few years ago. We've got a dog, a lab pit mix, and kids were, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. Aiden was probably around 7 or 8. Ansley was around 5, and We were going to one of the kids' ball game. I believe Aiden had a baseball game. Haley had conference night that night. She's a teacher at Springhead Elementary. Shout out Springhead. Woo woo. And so she was at conference night. I'm flying solo, dad life, right? And I get the kids ready. We're in a rush trying to get them there early and everything. We crate our dog. And so I put the dog in the crate and everything, but the kids ran out, right? There was a neighbor walking their dog, and I don't know how your kids are. My kids are the living epitome of that one viral video where the kid's like, can I pet that dog? Y'all seen that video? That's my kids. It doesn't matter where we go, can I pet that dog? Like, they're always trying to pet somebody else's dog. We were at Ansley's volleyball game in a gym, and somebody had brought a dog. And, of course, I watched him. Aiden's like, I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah, right. You saw that dog in there. You know you're going to pet that dog. So they ran out the door. Boom, they ran across the street because our sidewalk, our neighborhood's really silly. We don't have a sidewalk on our side of the street. There's a sidewalk on the other side of the street. So they run into the road. They run in the street. Can I pet that dog? And I'm like, yo, calm down. So in a rush with all that going on, I didn't latch Buddy. Buddy's the name of the dog. And I didn't latch Buddy's cage very well. Right? And he's kind of a little trickster, and he knows how to nudge it just right and get it if you don't latch it right. And apparently, I didn't close the door to the office either. Apparently, I didn't close the front door either. Because we get to the game, they're playing, and then I get a phone call from our neighbor like, hey, we're not sure what's going on. Your front door's open. Your dog has run off. We've called the cops because we didn't know if anybody broke into the house. This is a true story. I'm not blowing smoke whatsoever just because it's Easter. So I'm like, what in the world? Oh, my gosh. Haley has to leave conference night, which I'm sure you were really sad about doing that. So she gets to the house. Everything's fine. It's just the door was open. I didn't close it. The dog's gone, ran off. So the kids play their game. We get going home. On the way home, I broke the news to the kids. They're crying. Oh, no, Buddy's gone. Oh, no. What do we do? I'm feeling terrible because it's on me. I didn't latch the thing. I didn't close the doors. You know, I don't know what was going on. I'm feeling really bad. Dad fail right here, you know. We get home. I put the kids in the house, and then I go out. I'm searching. I'm riding around the neighborhood. I'm riding down the street. It's getting dark. It's about 9 o'clock. Haley calls me. Hey, come home. I just heard scratching on the front door. This dog has come home. And everybody's happy. Everybody's like, woo. You know, they're hugging Buddy. Like, oh, you're a good boy. Yeah. All these things. Why? Because you know it's a joyous occasion when you find what you've lost. Right? When you're looking through your pockets after you put it on, oh, there's that $20. Woo! Haley's got a happy dance. It's like this. Woo! Yeah. You do the happy dance, right? Man, I found that $20. I thought I lost it. You find your keys, and it's like, woo, man, I don't have to get new keys because, you know, that's expensive. Like, we get excited. There's a joy that happens when we find what was lost. Maybe today you're here, and maybe you've got something lost in your life. Maybe you've lost hope in your life. Maybe there's some things that have happened, some things that have gone on, maybe recently, maybe it's been the past year, maybe it's a number of things that have happened and you've lost hope. And today is a day where you need to find that hope again. Today's a day where you need some joy in your life. Now, you're not going to find any money, so don't get excited. There's not a $100 bill taped under somebody's pew. That's not going to happen. The kids are going to search for Easter eggs later on, whether you like that sort of thing or not. I don't get caught up on things on heaven or hell, so just so you know where I stand, it's something fun for the kids to do, and I think that's it, right? But they're going to find Easter eggs, and it really doesn't mean anything, has nothing really to do with Easter altogether as far as what we believe. But I'm not talking about finding that. I'm talking about finding real hope in your life. I don't know if you need hope today. I don't know if you're in that place where maybe hope has been lost. But today is a day to find hope in your life. Maybe today you need a miracle in the middle of lost hope. Maybe today hope is lost. And what happens sometimes when hope is lost, our purpose can be lost in the middle of pain. Our potential can be lost in the middle of our mistakes. The beauty of life can often be lost in our brokenness. Today, maybe hope has been lost in the hard of your life. Can I encourage you today? Hope can be found even in the hard times. Hope has a name, in fact, right? Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Like, I love what Pastor Haley said. Yeah, that Saturday, for those disciples, it felt like hope was lost. That Saturday was dark. They didn't know what to do. Their rabbi, their teacher, the person they thought was the guy, they thought Jesus was the Messiah, and they didn't understand, they didn't know. And that Saturday, it felt like hope was gone. It felt like hope had been buried with Jesus. But whoa, come on, I love that video. Sunday is coming, come on. That Sunday for you today is here. And I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you've lost hope, but that hope can be found today in Jesus. Come on, you got your Bibles with you. John chapter 14. If you got a device with the Bible on it, open that up. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. John chapter 14. I think we got it up on the screen. If you don't want to do that, I think it's good to open it up though for yourself. John 14, 1 through 7. Jesus is talking here and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" See, Jesus is known as the groom, bridegroom. Church is known as the bride of Christ. There's some symbolic things here because in the culture of that day, if a man was betrothed to a woman, he would go and prepare a place for them to spend their life together. This is very symbolic of Jesus and what he's going to be doing. He's going to leave and go prepare a place, heaven, eternity, for us. And he's trying to explain those things to him. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." We've got a generation of people that have a hard time with this verse. People don't like hard truths. People don't like absolute truth. Because, hey, this means I can't just live however I want to. And I'm sorry if you feel that way today, but that's not what Jesus came for. Yes, he loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to keep you the same. There should be a change in our life when we come to Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." From now, see, Jesus is the physical representation of God. You want to know what God is like? You can look to the Word and see who Jesus was. You can experience Jesus for yourself, and you can know who God is. If you really know me, you will know me. You know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Come on, let's pray. Jesus, so good. God, you are so good to us. in your loving kindness, you sacrificed yourself. You endured great pain and great suffering on that cross for us. You took our place, Lord, today. Father, will you help us to see that? Will you help us to feel that tension in our life, to know that maybe the way we've been living, God, has been a bunch of running and a bunch of playing around even sometimes. God, would you just bring us back to the truth today? That you are the way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. God, speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Change our lives today. Whether we know you or not, change us, God. Mold us, shape us into who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is giving his farewell address here. He's giving his farewell. I'm about to do some things. Some things are about to happen. I'm going to prepare a place for you. This is right before everything is about to go down, before Jesus' arrest, his trial, his death, his resurrection. So he's preparing his disciples for what's to come. And he does it by telling them with the end in mind. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where I'm going, you're going to go. I'm the way, and you know the way, right? If you read up to verse 9, he says, don't you know me after all we've been through together? After all you've seen and all you've experienced, don't you really know? Everything I've taught you is about to come together. What's about to happen isn't the end. It's only the beginning of things to come. See, if you stop in the middle, you don't know the rest of the story. If you are reading a book and you stop in the middle of the book, you don't know how it's going to happen. What if so-and-so get married? What if they fall in love? How's it going to play out? What if they catch the killer? Like, what's going on? I don't know. I haven't read I don't know what the rest of the story is. If you pause in the middle of the movie, why would you do that? That's crazy. I can't do it. Never fails. You go to a movie in the theater and your kid's got to get up and go to the bathroom. It's like, seriously, it's the best part. Like, why aren't... You stop in the middle, you don't know the rest of the story. Some of you have stopped. Some of you have stopped. You've stopped in the middle of, I don't understand. Some of you have stopped in the middle, well, I'm offended. Some of you have stopped in the middle of, man, I'm hurting and I'm struggling. Some of you have stopped in the middle of, I want it my way. I want it that way. What's the rest of it? Tell me. Okay, so see, some of you are stuck in the middle of why. Some of you are stuck in the middle of why. Why is this happening? Why, God? Why did this? Some of you have stopped right there. Some of you are in the middle of, man, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but you don't understand what I've been. We've all been through it, baby. We've all been through something. Yes, I understand. And I know where hope is found. I know sometimes hope gets hidden in the heart. Sometimes hope gets lost in the heart of life, and some of you are there. Some of you have stopped, and because you've stopped, now you're stuck. But here's the thing. You don't know the rest of the story. You're stopped, you're stuck, and you don't know the rest of the story. You don't know what God wants to do, even in your pain and your struggle, what God wants to do in you and through you. You don't know what could happen if you truly let go. You truly gave your life to Christ, even though you might have a past. Guess what? We all have a past. We've all done some things. Come on. Nobody's perfect in this room. Everybody thinks that the church folks are perfect. No, we're not. We're a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, we are. But I'm thankful that Jesus. While we were yet sinners, he still died for us. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. And I'm thankful that I don't have to stay stuck. I don't have to stay stuck. I just need to know the rest of the story. Maybe you've had some thoughts and some ideas and some questions. There's got to be more to life than this. So what do we do that? Here's what a lot of us do. We throw a lot of ifs and buts out there when this kind of stuff happens. Some of y'all got some big buts. Take that for however you want to take it. But... But, Pastor, you don't understand what I've been through. I want to believe, but, man, God just doesn't do what I want him to do. I want to believe, but, man, there's just too many rules. Listen, it's not about getting God to do what we want. It's about doing what God wants. You don't view them as rules when you have a relationship with Jesus. If you can truly understand who Jesus is and what he has done, do you realize you were worth saving? Do you realize you were worth dying for? Come on, that's the love of God. The love of God was on display on the cross of Calvary. The love of God was on display when Jesus shed his precious blood for you and for I. Do you realize that today? You are worth it. Jesus shed a lot of blood for a sinner like me. So guess what? I'm thankful. You might as well shout this morning. You might as well be thankful that you are saved, that God has saved you. I get to pray. I get to spend time. I get to live a changed life. That don't sound like religion to me. That's a relationship with Jesus. So we got a lot of big buts. And we got a lot of ifs. If I could just have more of this or more of that, I'd be satisfied in my longings and my search. See, you don't realize that your heart is seeking something. There's a God-shaped hole in all of our hearts that needs to be filled. And that can only be filled with Jesus. Jesus is the what? He's the way. If I could just do it all myself. We try to seek out things because our soul is searching. If I could just meet the right person, I'll be happy. If I could just find the right job or career, I'll be good. If I could get life figured out or had more money and a bigger home and a nicer car. That's crazy talk, though. Because why would more of the same things make you any happier? It won't. It won't. For many of you, every day you do the same things, you repeat the same habits, you go through the same routines. Days turn into weeks, weeks into months, months into years. It's rinse and repeat. And you know it's frustrating. The older I get, the faster the days go. And there's many of us, we're just trying to do it all on our own. Chasing this thing, chasing that thing. Perhaps the way you're going and the way you're living is not the way to happiness. Or hope. Perhaps the goal is not even the right goal, to be happy. Jesus didn't come to make us happy, he came to make us holy. Perhaps you were made for more, and that this life isn't all there is. You just need to know the rest of the story. The rest of the story goes through the cross. Verses 5 through 7 of John 14 again. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, what are you talking about? We don't know where you're going. Thomas, like, bro, you're written down in history as kind of saying this. That's like a, Jesus, we don't really know where you're going. What are you doing? Right? What are you saying? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The disciples are confused. Where are you going, Jesus? Tell us. And Jesus tells them, he is the way. You don't have to earn it. Just follow. You may have and maybe are looking for answers in all the different places to find hope, peace, and love. And you went or you are going by the way of relationships or careers or material things, money, success, only to realize those things don't really last. It may help in the moment, but it doesn't last. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't bring you the hope that you really need. And it still feels like something's missing. That something is Jesus. Do you know him today? Not just know about him, but know him. Have a relationship with him. Why don't you try following him? You've tried all sorts of other things. Why not try him? He is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus is the way back home. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to life. He is the way to purpose. Jesus is the way to hope in the hard. He didn't come for you and I to follow a bunch of rules. Jesus didn't come to change your habits. He came to change your heart. And if he's got your heart, guess what? Your habits will follow. Some are striving in this life so hard. Quit striving. Just give it to Jesus. You're striving so hard to fix your own brokenness, and you can't. You're going to exhaust yourself. You can't do it on your own. The problem is that sin separates us from God. That's why Jesus came. Sin doesn't make you bad, it makes you dead. Spiritually dead. It separates us from God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But, there's another big but. This one's okay. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the way, and he made that way through the cross. He died and he rose again so that you could die to sin and have new life in him. But apart from Jesus, there's a gap. There's a holy God and there's sinful man. So it took Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, to bridge the gap and bring the two together. That's why Jesus came the way that he did. That's why he was born of a virgin. That's why he lived a sinless life. And that's why he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become his righteousness. See, the path is broken without Jesus in your life. Your soul is craving God, whether you realize it or not. And in our craving, we end up chasing all the things, money, success, sex, relationships, and all those things cannot satisfy. You might think, if I had more power, more money, you would be okay. But no, you wouldn't be satisfied. You'd want more of that. If I could just sleep whoever I want. No, you wouldn't be satisfied. You want more. Remember when you were a teenager and you wish your parents would just let you do whatever you... Come on, Mom. Man. Just let me live my life. Let me do whatever I want, man. You're always getting in my way in my business. Always checking my phone. That's a good parent. Teenagers, you're gonna appreciate it one day. They're all up in your business. They won't let you do whatever you want because they love you too much. And the same is true for all of us with God. He loves you too much to leave you the same, stuck in the middle of your sin. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die so you might have life. God is perfect and holy. You and I are not because of sin. But Romans 3:23, it tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. So again, deep down, there's a hole and a craving that we cannot fill ourselves. We can't get to God, so God came to us. He made a way. He sent his son Jesus by the way of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that he might become that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In the middle between a holy God and sinful man, Jesus stepped in. He took our place. He paid our debt. You ever had a debt you owed? A loan? Car payment? And when you pay that off, it's a great feeling, isn't it? It's like, woo, yeah. I'm going to burn that mortgage, right? When we pay the mortgage off here, we're going to burn that sucker. Yeah. Because it feels good when you pay that thing off. But have you ever had it forgiven? Have you ever had a loan? Have you ever had a doctor bill and they just said, hey, it's taken care of. You're forgiven. Woo! That'll make you shout. You've been to dinner somewhere and somebody paid for it. You go, hey waitress, can I get the check? Oh, no, it's good, sweetie. You know, they always call you sweet hon. You're good, hon. And then all the wives get mad. No, you're good. You're good. Somebody took care of it. It's paid for. How much more should we get excited? The fact that Jesus paid it all, that my debt has been paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on. He took a big stamp and it says paid in full. You might as well shout this morning. Come on. Paid in full. Paid in full. But if we just stop there, if we just stop at Jesus' death, it's incomplete. There's more to the story. Sundays are coming. Come on. If he just died, there would be no hope. Hope would be lost. He would just be an ordinary man who was loving and a great teacher. But he didn't just die, did he? Come on. He rose again. He said he would, and he did it. Come on. In Matthew 28, 1 through 7, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and homeboy sat on it. I don't know why that stuck out to me this morning. I could just see that angel dangling his feet sitting up there on that stone, just laughing at the Roman guards, like, told you so, you know, like, I don't know. That's my 15-year-old brain sometimes it comes out. He sat up there on the stone. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, and they shook. They just froze. It says they were like dead men. Maybe if we don't move, he won't see us. It says they were like stone. They just froze up. You had one job. They know they were about to get in trouble. You're going to get fired. Or worse, the Romans were cruel. Ask Jesus. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is what? Not?" Come on, you might as well say it with some gusto. He is not what? He is not. He is what? He has risen. Come on. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Jesus is alive. He wants to live in your heart. He wants to have access to your heart. He wants you to have access to all the kingdom of God there is and to heaven. He wants you to access your true identity and purpose. He wants to give you hope even in the hard things of life. The resurrection changes all of it, changes the game. It changes everything. If he just died, that would be it. We would still be stuck in our sin. But Jesus died and he rose again. He said he would. His resurrection validates all of it. It validates his claims that he is the Son of God. His death and resurrection answers the question of, is there more? What about my sin? What about my past? What about my mistakes? The resurrection of Jesus Christ punctuates the point of his crucifixion. If he rose from the dead, we can trust what he said about his own death. If someone predicts his own death and resurrection and pulls it off, you should trust what they say. You can trust that he actually rose from the dead. There were eyewitness accounts. They saw him die. Everybody saw him die. The crowd that day, the Jews, the Romans, there were soldiers there. Everybody saw him die. The religious, they saw him die. They saw, some saw the empty tomb, even the enemy, the Roman soldier. They saw that. The angel was there. They saw it happen. Then Jesus appeared, not just to a couple of people. If he appeared to a couple people and that's like, oh, this is kind of a crazy story, I don't know. But he appeared to 500 people after his resurrection. That's a lot of people. Skeptics like James, his half-brother, he didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. But somehow he had this encounter with the risen Savior that changed him dramatically. The Apostle Paul was Saul, the great church persecutor, and he had a great encounter with God on the road to Damascus that changed his life completely. There were skeptics. Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or a Lord. Jesus said he would die. He rose again, and he did. He wasn't just another person. He was who he claimed to be. So if you're a Christian today, if you follow Christ, you can live with hope and confidence. Your prayers matter. Your faithfulness matters. Your generosity matters. Jesus died. He rose again. And he will return. And I think it's coming a lot sooner than what we think. If you're not a Christian, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ today, you should. Because nobody else offers words of eternal life. The resurrection changes everything. Worship team, you guys can come up. In a few moments, we're going to pray for folks. If you want prayer today, we'll give you an opportunity, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, to make that decision, the greatest decision you could ever make. Can you imagine the disciples and Jesus' mother? All of his followers, they see Jesus give his last breath. And they probably felt like all hope is gone. This was their teacher, their rabbi. They were close. This was their brother, their Messiah. And all of a sudden, he's dead. Like, what do we do now? They gave up their life. They gave up their jobs, their professions to follow this man. They gave it all up. And now their teacher and their rabbi is gone. And then they all scatter. They all hide because they're afraid of what might happen to them. In fact, some of them even went back to their old jobs, their old way of life. They had literally started a revolution. And now it seemed finished. Hope was lost. But was it? Hope wasn't lost. It was just hidden. Friday came and went. And Jesus died. Saturday was silent, probably a blur. But whew, Sunday. Sunday is coming. The rest of the story is coming. Hope is coming. Sunday comes. The women show up. The stone is rolled away. What seemed dead had come to life. What seemed like it was over was only the beginning. What seemed to be defeated had become victory. Hope was lost. Now hope is here because Jesus not just died, but he rose again. Maybe hope seems lost in the heart of your life today. Maybe pain has buried hope. Maybe sin or your past or your mistakes has buried hope in your life. Maybe struggle and worry and doubt has buried hope in your life. Maybe these things have become a stone that needs to be rolled away so that hope can be revealed to you today. The cross is God's divine reach to you. He still wants you. He still loves you. There is another way for your life. You are not your past. You're not your mistakes. You're not what has happened to you. You are who God says you are. You are who He created you to be. And Jesus is where hope can be found in the middle of the hard. There are those of you that God brought here for this very moment. Because maybe you've never made things right with Him. The only way that we are made right with God is by grace through His Son Jesus. That God so loved us. He loved us that much. He did something that wasn't fair. He died. He took our place. Sacrificed Himself for our sins. And when we put our faith in Him, when we surrender our life, when we give up control, that's where a lot of us stop. Because we have a hard time giving up control. We want to live our life. We want to work it out ourselves. But Jesus says, you don't have to. He's already paid the price. He's already done it. You just got to trust Him and give Him your life today. Some of you, hope is lost in sin, shame, guilt, pain, and problems. But Jesus came to set you free. Some of you right now, you recognize you need Him. You need His grace. You need to be forgiven. Right now, if you all stand with me this morning, our prayer team, you guys can go ahead. You guys and gals, you can go ahead and find your place in a moment. I know it's Easter, but man, I would hate to not give you an opportunity to experience God, to come and get prayer over some things going on in your life. And more importantly, I would hate not to give you an opportunity to respond to His grace and His goodness. So with every head bowed, every eye closed today, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Him, you might know about Him, but you don't really know Him. And today you would give your life to Him and ask Him to come into your life today, to be the Lord of your life. All across this room, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, you see, you need to say yes to Jesus. On this Easter 2024, Jesus is going to change it all. You're going to begin a relationship with Him. If that's you and you don't know Christ today, what a day for God to move in your life.